Overcoming the odds in that way of being in the space and creating more spaces for men of color who really, 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 really need something like yoga to help with just our coping with life. And I finished my last 3 years at the University of the Arts in Philly. And after that, I was like, I am moving to New York because I want to do Broadway. It was between me and my friend Leslie Odom Jr. But yeah, I've had three moments where I was on TV, and that just opened the door for.
Hey, y'all. Hey, it's your host, Paisa Noel, and welcome to the Paisa Noel Show, hashtag PNS. A talk show based in LA, California, where most of the guests reside. Also a talk show where we always find that laugh. I am stoked that we have officially arrived at PNS Season 2, themed Overcoming the Odds and Pursuing Passion. In addition, PNS viewers and listeners have now been named, drumroll, Paisa Noel Show Passion Propellers and Bold Beauties. You may be saying, what do that mean? Well, all that means is that you are bold, beautiful, and not just pursuing, but propelling your passion. And if you're not, quote unquote, yet, I think you will after hearing these stories. Throughout my journey as a former professional dancer turned talk show creator, I have met some fascinating people with inspiring stories. Let's dive on in and hear them. Peace out. Hi, my Paisa Noel Show Passion Propellers and Bold Beauties. Today, I am so excited to have Cornelius Jones Jr. with me. Hi, Cornelius.
Hey, Paisa. Thank you for having me here. And congratulations on your passion project and getting it off the ground and doing just such lovely work with it. So, yeah.
Thank you so much. I was so excited when he said that he could do it. So I feel like I got a celebrity on here. I do have a celebrity, actually. When y'all hear these credits, y'all gonna say, she got a celebrity up on her show. So just bullet points. Cornelius is a fitness entrepreneur. He's an actor. He's a dancer, a yoga instructor, internationally known. And he's been on Broadway, just a little bit of everything, TV and everything. So we're going to dive into all that. But first, I just want to give my accolades. I always do this whole like thing about why I ask people to be on my show. So I'm going to just read a few notes about why I asked Cornelius to be on the show and his excellence. Cornelius was always a highly mentioned name in the yoga streets. So people always talked about how dope he was and how dope his classes were. I remember when I did yoga for trade and I had a partner that had the same shift as me. And every shift she would be like, "Ooh, I got to go to Cornelius's class. He be working it out." And I also heard the admiration and the positive comments that Queen Yoga / Yoga Sculpt teacher Marie Kay, she would always say all these cool things about Cornelius. And she would always mention how well-rounded Cornelius is. Well, she was right about that. Fast forward to 2020, I got to peep some of his excellence on IG. So I saw how he was performing on stages, in television, on Broadway, having brilliant stretch and strengthening IG videos where it was obvious that he knew his ish. And I got to see his fitness entrepreneurship, including Yoga Burn Incorporated. And I took one in classes. I was struggling, but it was good. And P.S., he also has his Master's of Arts, which we'll get into some more. But come on, Cornelius, come on, educated. So that's something to clap about. Last but not least, I saw his activeness in causes that matter in society and that were important to him. Cornelius's resilience, amazing character, passion, boldness and brilliance just shines brightly for all of us to notice. And this is why I'm honored that he agreed to be a guest on PNS. So thank you so much, Cornelius. And I just appreciate you being on.
Thank you, Paisa. All right, for just laying it out there.
Yeah, because it's beyond accomplishments. It's about character. And you just shine through. And when I'm on Instagram, I just will see these things. And I'm like, he is just so dope. And I want to ask if you have anything else to add to the intro part, or do you want to just to kind of come out as we talk?
I think you just covered everything. Nothing else that I need to add. It'll just be a reiteration. And no, it's all good. We can jump right into it.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. So season two, if you're just diving in, season two has a new theme, and it is overcoming the odds and pursuing passion. Now, I want to read a few things about that I found on Google, because it may just spark your mind on what that means. Overcoming the odds is also interchangeable with defying the odds, but I love the word overcoming. So we're going to work with that. Overcoming the odds, that means that you're succeeding in something that you are highly unlikely to achieve. Achieving something that most would deem impossible. That's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
An accomplishment is something that was seemingly improbable, or succeeding in something where people thought you would fail. That's another big one. And when the odds are stacked against you and it's very likely you won't succeed, but you do, you have defied the odds. So I just wanted to read those, just spark a few things. And with that being said, I'd like to ask you, Cornelius, what are the first things that come to your mind when you hear that?
Man, the first thing that come to my mind, the first thing was definitely in the yoga space, overcoming the odds, you know, as a Black person, a person of color, and also being a Black man in the yoga space as well, where there haven't been many of us. And if you look at yoga in the from the Western lens, the American lens, prior to 2020 pandemic and the murder of George Floyd, there was no visibility, no amplification of Black men and Black women in the yoga space. Very few. I even remember having a conversation during the pandemic. It was a workshop where we were learning about race and class, where I was asked, or someone was asked, where are or who are your leaders, Black leaders in like the yoga world? And I was like, couldn't think of anyone, you know? And I said, well, there are some people in the, like the overall fitness and health. And I was talking about like Sean T, someone who inspires me, and like Michael Blanks and Irene Blanks who inspire me. But overcoming the odds in that way of being in the spacing, creating more spaces for men of color, who really, 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 really need something like yoga to help with just our coping with life mentally. You know, there's a lot of trauma, family trauma, historical trauma, a lot of trauma rooted in racism and oppression that the Black man has had to endure. And unfortunately, in some cases, we end up in just unfortunate situations. We end up in unfortunate relationships. There has been the tendency for the Black male to disrespect the Black female. And I think that all just goes from not having access to things that could make us well physically and mentally and more well-rounded. Defying the odds, you know, defying, pushing through that door in the yoga space, in the fitness space to say, we are here. We need this. We need this for ourselves so that we can be stronger for our families and for our families, for our friends, for people in our community. So that's one of the first things that's definitely popped up into my mind. But that's very present where I am right now. And, you know, during this pandemic, can I say we even through the pandemic, we're still in the pandemic, but it's been the yoga and the wellness has really taken off a lot and has been really moving and flowing for me within the past like 17 or 18 months. So that's what initially struck a bell. But then, as I was also thinking, defying the odds, just being a young little boy from Richmond, Virginia, that's where I grew up, inner city, Highland Park. I was born in the 70s. I grew up in the 80s, though, late 70s, grew up in the 80s. And at that time in the 80s, the streets were just infested with just drugs, you know, crack cocaine. That was the thing. Alcohol. That was what we did in our neighborhood to have a good time, but also to escape. And there was no way out really for young men like me growing up, but to go out on the street corner and to sell drugs to make money for the family. And so it was just like sort of like, okay, well, this is sort of like the rite of passage. But I just had a strong family. A family who believed in me, a family who allowed me to just basically sort of do anything I want to do. But they, you know, there still were some rules and stuff. But I look back and say, you know, I guess statistically, I should have been in jail by the time I was like before I turned 21. You know, I ran the streets. I ran the streets with my friends who pushed drugs and everything. I think I was a little scaredy cat, to be honest. They would call me the little weak one anyway, you know, but I was like, now I look back, I said, okay, I'm glad I'm scared. I'm glad I was a weak one. Yeah. But still, that should have been my life. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't. And I'm fortunate that I was sort of, I feel like I was a chosen one. And it's interesting I say I was a chosen one because I was also the different one, you know. within my family. I was the one that was gay, and I was the one that experimented with my mom's clothes at a young age. I was the one that wanted to perform and just be happy and out and just, you know, even flamboyant. You know, I was the one who was just like, hey, it's fun, it's life, let's do everything, let's do it all. Not knowing that I was actually a young, little young boy growing up and breaking barriers, but it was just like, this is just what I like to do. So I think within me being weak and different, I was chosen to be that in order to be where I am right now.
Yes.
You know? So. Oh,
wow. Okay, so the first thing that came to mind was you were born in the 70s. So if you guys are listening on podcasts, you got to look on the YouTube for at least for a second to see how young Cornelius looks. Come on, like, oh my gosh. Like, I would never guess that. So that was the first surprising thing. I am super impressed with the fact that you defied the odds. And I love that you say that you were chosen, because I do think that we all have our journeys. I think that God has his hands on us. And thank God that you did get out in the world and shared your talent, because you are so talented. So I'm so glad that it worked that way.
Sure.
Question for you. You mentioned that you are different. And at what age did you realize you were kind of different? And what age were you trying on your mom's clothes and stuff?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I would say at least like 2 or 3 years old. I was just, I was young and I was just different. I remember even being a little boy when Diana Ross had the video, Muscles, I Want Muscles. I used to love that video. And I was a young boy, like, I just knew I was different. Even through like elementary school and middle school, I was attracted to boys in just the same way that I was supposed to be attracted to girls. But I mean, I was attracted to girls, so I had girlfriends because that was the norm. That was what was supposed to be done. That was quote unquote right. But I also was just like, hey, I feel the same way about Tisha that I feel about Anthony. You know, I'm just making up names right now. I don't want to protect people's privacy, but, you know, but I'm just saying I realized as a young boy, I had the same feelings, but out in the world, I can't express it like that. So I got to pull back, cover up and be someone else to get by. And I used to put on, I used to be my mama, you know, and put on a voice like her. And I was acting.
I was going to say, already starting with your acting.
Already starting with my acting, you know. Yeah, I would do that. And then I would have different outfits, being different characters and stuff. It was just play, you know. For me, I was just playing. It was fun. But I still, on the other side, I love playing sports. I love getting rough as well. But I also like the little, like, dainty stuff, the fun stuff. But that was just play. That was acting for me.
So let's go to the next chapter.
So I left Virginia when I was 15, actually. My freshman year of high school was in Virginia, in Richmond. And at that time, they created magnet schools, right? Mm-hmm. And these magnet schools were different types, like the governor school. People wanted to go, you know, focus more on like law and stuff in college. It's a magnet school for science. I think it was a magnet school for history, and then the magnet school for the arts. And that was my chosen school. I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to go to this magnet school for the arts because I knew that I wanted to perform and I wanted to train more. That school was, it was rough. And the program was rough too. And I just wanted more. And one of my friends at the school, she said, Cornelius, you are really serious about this. Mm-hmm. Right now, this school isn't the right one for you, but there's this school in DC. It's called the Duke Ellington School of the Arts that I think you should go to. You should look into. I got the phone number to the school. I called up to the school and I said, I want to be a performer. I want to go to this performing arts high school. How can I get into the school? And so they sent me a packet, an audition packet with audition days. And so basically I auditioned, I got accepted into the vocal music department at Duke Ellington. And we made arrangements for me to stay with a real close friend of the family. So I spent my last three years of high school in DC at the Duke Ellington School of the Arts. So from there, I went to college to continue to study musical theater. I did 1 year at Syracuse University. And I finished my last 3 years at the University of the Arts in Philly. And after that, I was like, I am moving to New York because I want to do Broadway. And so literally right after undergrad, I moved right to New York. So right at the end of my junior year, going into my senior year of college at UArts, Rent was the height of American musical theater. And I came this close to getting casted, and I was going to have to basically leave my last year of school to do the show. It was between me and my friend Leslie Odom Jr., who won the Tony Award for Hamilton. And I remember him and I and two of my other girlfriends, we were living in Philly, and me and my two girlfriends, we had drove up, and Leslie came up. I think he came with like his mom or somebody who was chaperoning him around. And it was like a final call back. And I was just like, I can't get this close to getting it. But I didn't get it. He got cast in one of the ensemble tracks in the Broadway company of Rent. That was his big Broadway debut. And he has blown up since then. But I remember being like, wow, this is really happening. I finished school though. My teachers were all prepared. They was like, hey, this is school. This is what it's about. If you get cast, we understand. We'll give you some type of like study abroad credit and help you get your diploma on time. Oh. So I did that. And then I finished and I moved straight to New York and started in a national tour of Smokey Joe's Cafe right before I even graduated. So what happened? I didn't get Rent. But then my last 2 months of college, I went back to New York. I went for an audition for the National Tour of Smokey Joe's Cafe, and I ended up booking it. And fortunately, it didn't start until the fall. So I could graduate on time. I moved up to New York, settled in, and then I was out on the road with Smokey Joe's for about like 9 months. So I stayed in New York from 99 up until 2011. Throughout that time, most of my time in New York, I was in the Broadway company of The Lion King. So when I booked that show, I kind of just stayed there. I stayed there. It was some good money and good people. And I just wanted to learn more in the show, and I wanted to grow more. And I also wanted to be settled in New York and not have to really worry about the stresses of living in New York and having to struggle. So I just stayed there and collected my money and invested in some property and, you know, reinvested in myself. I even went back to school with the money from that I reinvested in with Lion King. And then from there, yeah, I came out to LA. Yeah.
Such a full life and so many accomplishments. Yes. Oh my gosh, I love hearing these journeys. This is amazing. What was your favorite job in New York? Do you have a favorite one, or are they all like the same?
I would say one of my favorite experiences was one of my first experiences when I basically booked a co-star on Law & Order SVU. That was insane. And I only had like 3 or 4 lines, which is still insane and good.
Yes.
Not good, great. Because, you know, the thing at the time was just like, that's like every New York actor hasn't made it until they made it on Law & Order. So, I mean, that's what they say, but you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Success is, it's a matter of the heart and it's what you make of it. But yeah, it was for me a really strong compliment and accomplishment. And the fact that they brought me back like 3 other times. Like I've been on the show 4 times. One time it didn't air because they changed the ending, so that didn't make it. But yeah, I've had three moments where I was on TV, and that just opened the door for more work for me and just opened the door for me to just continue to move forward and know that I'm on the right path, you know.
Yes. Do you enjoy stage better, or do you enjoy TV, or both?
I enjoy both. Stage gives you this, just the newness, the freshness. It's just like you sort of don't know what's going to happen every night. It gives you a different fire underneath your belt. It keeps you on your toes. And I like how the stage theater keeps you on your toes. And the process of theater, it's like raising your own child, you know? You get to see it in this like fetal position, and you get to really be there and see its growth. There's so much gratitude that I feel at the end of any type of stage show. Like I recently, right before the pandemic, I played Lola in Kinky Boots with 3D Theatricals down at Cerritos Performing Arts Center. And how the director and the creative team just allowed me to go on this journey and to find my Lola, and how Lola found me, and how the character taught me so much, Cornelia so much personally as well. There was just so much gratitude in that whole process. It was like, I got to have this relationship with this character and with this story. TV, on the other hand, I haven't had the opportunity to work on a long running show. That's the next goal, you know, my little recurring role, you know.
Yes.
Current role. The one like a recurring role or a series regular where I have the time to really cultivate. And I want to know if it gives me that same gratification that theater does. That I don't know. I've done guest appearances, guest star roles, and co-star roles. With the guest star roles, I've had, you know, a little more time on the set. The co-star roles, you come in probably like you just do. Most co-stars, you just go in one day. You got your lines, you hit it, and you quit it. So in that sense, I love TV when you go and be like, oh, this will be doing today, getting it, quit it. All right, good, great. I'm only on set for 1 hour. Oh, good, great. I'm only on set for 3 hours. Good, great. You know, yeah. So TV allows you that space to sort of relax if you're not used as much. When I have done some guest stars, I've had some time to develop a character, but just because it's such a limited time, I haven't had enough time to really sit with it, because it's just like, oh, that's it, it's done. All right, so finish you for a week or two and we're done. I'm like, no, I want to discover more. I want to play more. I love being able to take multiple takes and get different points of views from different characters. And even you as your character, you get your different shots from different camera angles. We're on set all day. We're going to do multiple takes of this scene, so I get to play more.
Yes.
Play and create more. So
it also takes such a versatile person and well-rounded person like you to be able to do both, because there's a lot of actors that I see that cannot do both theater and TV. So it's a totally different craft.
It's a different craft. And
stay tuned for part two of Cornelius Jones Jr. on the Pice and Noel Show. Thank you for tuning in to the Pice and Noel Show, hashtag PNS. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode, got something out of it, and found that laugh somewhere. If you are a visual person like me and you want to see these stunning guests in their interviews, you can subscribe to my YouTube channel at the Pice and Noel Show PNS. If you're feeling the PNS podcast, please hook a sister up with a fantastic rate and review. Okay. They just got the option on Spotify now too. So, you know, hook a girl up. Last but not least, you can follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Pice and Noel Show. Blessings, love, and laughter, y'all. Peace out.